Welcome to the teaching ministry of Stephen Fraser and Life of Faith Bible Church, an outreach dedicated to helping you triumph in every area of life. Now here's Pastor Fraser with today's message.
How many believe God wants you to be a blessing? How many people know it's hard to be a blessing if you're cursed? Right? And you can only be a blessing to the degree that you're blessed. So we want to be abundantly blessed so that we can be an abundant blessing in life. We want, like the Bible says, all sufficiency in all things so that we have enough for ourselves and may abound or overflow to every good work. He wants you to abound to every good work whenever there's an opportunity to be a blessing, to be able to give, to be able to help people. Praise God. That's a great position to be in, right? That no matter what's going on, if you want to be a blessing, if you want to help, if you want to step in and fix somebody's situation, you've got what it takes to do it. We're not just barely getting by ourselves. We're in survival mode. I think a lot of Christians are in survival mode. It's kill or be killed. It's eat or be eaten. You know, I mean, folks are just hanging on for dear life. But that's not God's will. How can the church be a blessing if they're just hanging on and just barely making it themselves? Right? You don't have it within your ability to help others. You can see quite easily that that would not be God's will for your life, for you to be in a place of lack. Because if you're in lack, you're going to lack the opportunity to be able to help people. And God's looking for people that he can work through to help people. He's looking to be able to work through your life. So actually, by you not being blessed, you are holding God back. Well, that'd be displeasing to him, wouldn't it? It's displeasing to him. The Bible says he delights in the lack that his people have. No, that's not what it says. The Bible says that he delights in the prosperity of his servants. So if he delights in their prospering, then quite obviously he would dislike their not prospering. He would dislike them being in lack. God doesn't like it. It's amazing how religion tries to turn this thing around and make it sound like somehow if we're in lack, we're in humility, and somehow that humility is pleasing to God. Us walking around just barely making it by in life is God's way of humbling us and God's way of keeping us from getting puffed up in pride. So that's why God doesn't want money. He doesn't want you to have a lot. He just wants just enough and even sometimes not quite enough just to keep you humble. This has been preached from pulpits all over the world for decades and decades and decades. People getting up and preaching that somehow you're glorifying God in your struggling to make ends meet. Friend, I got news for you. It's the exact opposite. God is displeased when you are just making it or just barely making it in life because you are ineffective as a witness for him to be able to help people. Because you're struggling yourself. Oh, you're just consumed and taking care of getting your needs met. That's not, he wants the world. He wants the church to be a light to the world. He wants the church to be able to affect the world. He wants the church to change things. He don't want the world in the mess that it's in. And he's looking for his body, the body of Christ, to rise up and to be able to change some of the things that are going on. And we're not just talking about things. We're talking about people because things change when people change. So we got to get in there and help people. We got to deliver people. We got to set people free. We got to be in a position to be a blessing. If we're just consumed with our own lives and we're in survival mode, then we're limited. We're limited as a church. The body of Christ is limited. But God wants to take the limits off. I said, God wants to take the limits off. He wants to do some explosive things in these days. I want to be a part of that, don't you? I want to be a part of believing for that and getting into expectation about it so that I'm in a position for God to explode through us. Because again, the explosions happen when people are in faith. When he's got a people that are yielded enough to him for him to make a big bang in the earth. I believe in the big bang theory. It's not a theory to me. God wants to make a big bang. He wants to do something explosive. And when he does it, things are changed. Things are created. There is life. God brings life, but he brings it through people just like you that would dare to believe him and say, you know what? I'm not staying in this self-centered position that I've been in. I've been in this position too long, just consumed with me and feeding this flesh and clothing this body and just taking care of my needs. I've got to be a blessing. I've been created for a whole lot more than what I've been doing. I've been created to affect a whole lot more people than I've been affecting. And we got to get stirred up about it. You know, you got to get your mind renewed and realize, man, you've been created for big stuff. You weren't created just to survive. You were created to affect this generation, to affect this world, to change things. You've been created for that. Created for that when you were born into this world, and then doubly created for that when you were born again. Created, recreated in Christ Jesus as a new creation. Man, we got such purpose and such destiny, but so much of that gets so lost as we just get all, we keep ourselves all entangled with the affairs of this life, and we don't dare to lift our eyes above the box that we've been living in. If you're just living in a box, you know, and that's all you know, then you just kind of settle for it and say, praise God, let's paint the box today. Oh, I'm so happy. Look, I painted my box. Hey, it makes me so happy to have a nice painted fresh color paint on my box. And let's put some curtains up in the box. And let's put some new carpet in the box. And we just stay in our box. And we don't know anything else. It's kind of like I have an aquarium at home. And the fish, all they know is this 36-gallon tank. That's their world. That's all the world. And the most exciting thing for them, the thing that's a rush to them is when I approach the tank. Because they're looking for something. They're looking for food. In fact, these fish will eat themselves to death if you let them. They literally will. They'll eat themselves to death. Not eat themselves, but they'll eat food so much that they'll overeat and kill themselves. I mean, they'll just eat themselves to death. They're frantic all the time. Gene says to me, did you feed the fish? I said, I fed them twice. I said, looks like they're starving. They're always starving. And I don't think it's because they're really starving. It's just, it's the most exciting thing they have to look forward to. Aside from the bubbles, you know, they ride around in the bubbles a little bit, but take away the bubbles, right? Take away the bubbles. What do you got? Just kind of waiting for something exciting to happen. So fight over the food. That's exciting. They're looking for something. And I think that's, we got to watch. We weren't made to live in an aquarium. Come on. We gotta lift our eyes and see outside our box into the vastness of the glory of God that we've been created to walk in. We were created to walk in the awesomeness of the Almighty. Be heavenly minded. Praise God. Not just earthbound, earthly minded. So we gotta encourage ourselves, stir ourselves up, lift our vision higher. Get that vista view, looking down on the things of the earth and having this huge view of what God has for our life, for our world, for this time, for this church. Huh? I mean, thank God for nice community churches. People come together, hear a good sermon about how they can straighten up and live a life better for themselves and maybe be a blessing to the neighbor. Thank God for that. But man, there's so much more. I said there's so much more for us to see and understand concerning our life and our purpose in life. Big things. The box is good, but we're not to be limited to it. Everybody needs to be able to go into their box and keep it nice. Keep your four walls nice. Take care of those things. But we don't want to be limited to that. That's all we see. That's the fullness of our life. No, man, our fullness is in Him. Our fullness is in God. Our fullness is in Jesus. And He wants to do not just natural. He wants to do supernatural things in our life, in our world. And I just believe you're to be a part of it. I believe you're here for such a time as this. I believe you've been called to the kingdom right now for such a time as this to be an explosive force for God in the earth. You see, it just sounds too hard, sounds like too much. No, He does all the hard work. He does it. We yield. We obey. We believe. We expect. Huh? We cooperate with Him. But wow, what He does through us when we do. He'll take our little sardine and cracker and He'll multiply it in one day and feed thousands. Come on. He'll take your little bit and He will do big things with it when it's submitted to Him, when it's yielded to Him. God wants to pour it out, friends. God wants to rend the heavens and He wants to pour out such blessing that there's not room enough for us to handle it. We've got to give it away. We've got to have some more great giveaways. Everybody should be having their own great giveaways. Everybody needs a green truck in their driveway. Everybody needs to have their own personal great. You all need to be a great giveaway. And as you're a great giveaway, and you're a great giveaway, and you're a great giveaway, and then we come together. Wow. It's a supersonic giveaway. It's an over-the-top giveaway for the community, for the city. It just pulls people into the kingdom. And next thing you know, it's affecting the nation. We're on the map. People know about those folks at Life of Faith Bible Church. Am I preaching over your head? I hope I am. So you can stick your head up. Come on up. Hallelujah. Come on up. Stick your head up higher. Let's get up higher in our thinking. No matter how high you are, let's go higher. Let's go higher in our thinking. Let's not settle. Let's not be satisfied. Let's get that bigger vision for our life that God has for us. He wants to do amazing things through you and I. He wants to pour out that blessing. And as I've said, as we look through history in the Word of God, you go back to the Old Testament, even in the New Testament, you can see very clearly how tithes and offerings, people's giving, is directly connected to mighty moves of God. And again, coming back to Malachi chapter 3, in verse 6, it says, "For I am the Lord, I do not change." So he's saying that as he's going into this subject here. He makes that statement, "I do not change." This is an area where God does not change. Throughout all eternity, we'll be bringing tithes and offerings to Him. It is an eternal principle. We will always come before the Lord and worship Him. We'll always come to Him and bring something to Him. The Bible talks about over in Deuteronomy that when we present ourselves before Him, we're never to present ourselves before Him empty-handed. And that's an eternal principle. Their worship, even you read it over there in the book of Revelation. I mean, they come before Him and we see the elders, they take off their crowns. And they give it to Him. And He is crowned with many crowns. They give this thing that is so valuable and worth so much to them. They give it to the Lord at his throne. Money's a big deal. This was the area where the devil messed up. Lucifer. This is how what led to his ultimate fall from heaven. Over there in Ezekiel chapter 28, the Bible says that because of the abundance of his trading, he became filled with violence and sinned. The abundance of his trading. So we see trading going on over here in eternity, over here in the spirit realm, over here in that heavenly realm. There's trading going on. And the devil, Lucifer at the time, got his eyes on the money. He got his eyes on the finances and the increase that was coming in. And that ultimately changed his heart. He became money-minded, and he ultimately sinned against God, rebelled against God, and fell. So that was the thing that opened the door to all the angels falling, was the lust of money. Greed, we could say. Greed is what led to that downfall. And then, of course, Adam and Eve in the garden, we see what led to man's first downfall. Comes back to God says, you can eat all of this, but this is holy. This tree right here of the knowledge of good and evil is set apart. It is holy. That doesn't belong to you. Don't, you can eat of all the trees, don't touch this one. That's holy. That's set apart. And what did they do? They went and touched it. They took it. They partook of it. And what happened? Brought a curse on all mankind. So again, it had to do with greed. I have all the trees, but I want that one. I want the one that I can't have. And that greed led to all the problems, all the curses that we see in the world today. So this is a big deal. It's a big deal. And just like we see it can lead to great downfalls and curses, if it can bring about great curses, then and it can bring about a curse upon all of mankind, curse the earth, if greed can do that, then what can generosity do? What can giving do? Come on, it can bring about such blessing that there's not room enough to contain it. So withholding from God or taking from God what belongs to God will bring about terrible curses. Greed will bring about curses. But generosity and giving will bring about tremendous blessing. And I want the blessing. How about you? I don't want to be cursed. I want to be over on the blessing side of things. Amen. So again, we got to be committed to this principle of tithing. Again, verse chapter 3, verse 8. He says, will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me. But you say, in what way have we robbed you? So again, like we talked about last time, people get blinded. They get blinded. They so justify their sins, they harden their heart, and they don't even realize that their hearts are hard, and they don't even realize they're not right with God. And God here is reminding them, you have robbed me in tithes and offerings. You are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation. So there's the cursings for not giving the Lord what belongs to him. Verse 10, bring all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house, my church, and prove me now in this, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open to you the windows of heaven and pour out for you such blessing that there'll not be room enough to receive it. Now, that word there in the Hebrew, where such blessing, that word in the Hebrew means prosperity. Prosperity. So he says, I'll pour out for you such prosperity that there will not be room enough to receive. It sounds like God is serious about this, doesn't it? He's serious about this. He's saying, I'm going to prosper you where you're going to have too much prosperity. And notice, again, this too much, it's the blessing of God. It's an overpowering outpouring of the blessing of God. How many people would like to have too much outpouring? an overabundance outpouring of blessing upon your life. Huh? Yeah, you know, we need that. We need to be so blessed that it's an overwhelming outpouring. Overwhelming to the devil. The devil who is determined to keep the church in lack. You're the church. To keep the church, to keep God's people in lack. Because he knows if he can keep you in lack, then he can keep you from being a blessing. He can limit you severely. True? How many people know we have an enemy? Oh, the devil's serious about this. And who is that? He's been pretty successful at stopping up the blessings of God in your life. How many people believe God wants to get more to you, but there always seems to be something stopping up the flow? That means we need an overwhelming outpouring of blessing that overwhelms all the strongholds of lack that the devil has built up over our lives. Because some of you, you're doing good, and you're doing everything right, and it's like, man, it seems hard for the blessings to come through. I just don't feel like I'm walking in all that I should be walking in. With all that I do, I tithe and I give and I obey God, but it seems like it's just squeaking through barely. Seems like something's just plugging it up, stopping up the flow. Well, when something's stopping up the flow, you need an overflow. You need something that just goes over those boundaries. You need something that just goes over those strongholds and just floods the floor. Have you ever had anything in your house overflow and flood the floor? Huh? Yeah, usually it's not very pleasant. Is it? And we're in there mopping, we're trying to clean it up. We don't want that to happen with our toilet bowls or anything else in the house that might over the bathtub, the sink, or something like that. It gets plugged up, but the water just keeps coming. I mean, the thing is plugged up, and it's like, oh, stop the water. It's plugged up, but the water keeps coming. Shut the water off, Alice. I mean, it just keeps coming. And when it keeps coming, it just overflows. It just overflows. It can't be stopped. Well, the devil is plugging up our blessings. That's when we need an overflow of blessing. We need an overabundant blessing that overwhelms all the devil's strongholds. That's what he's talking about here in Malachi. That's exactly what he's talking about here. The devourer will be rebuked because of the abundance of prosperity that's coming. It's going to be so great, it just rebukes him. He can't do anything to stop it. He runs over here and tries to plug it up, and oh, it's pouring out over here too, and he's trying to plug it up, and I mean, it's just coming down, it's just filling the house, and he's running, and get me 100 more demons in here. 100 more demons ain't going to do it, devil, ain't going to do it. You're not going to be able to stop it. It's Niagara. It's Niagara Falls, baby. Come on. It's coming down, and the devil, he's just rebuked. He just drowning in the thing. He can't stop it. He can't stop it. It's too much for the devil. Now, I'm not playing with you. This is really what God wants to do. He wants to bless you so greatly, it's too much for the devil. If 1,000 demons cannot stop it. They can't stop it. They can't stop it any more than you can stop, or this whole church standing on the beach shore can stop a wave from coming in. Say, let's all hold hands. We all go down to the beach now, and we're going to take this portion of the beach right here, and we're all going to hold hands. And we're going to stop this wave. Ain't going to happen. Ain't going to happen. Everybody's going down. If it's a good sized wave, right? Ain't going to stop it. That's what God wants to do. That's what he wants to do. Well, somebody says, well, Pastor, this is connected to tithing. And I tithe. Why aren't I seeing that? Well, I want you to notice this. In its context, what's he talking about? Verse 10. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse. Now, of course, that's all your tithes as an individual. Bring all your tithes into the storehouse. But that's not what he's saying here. You need to bring all your tithes, but that's not what he's saying here. He's saying, in this house of God, he's saying, all of you, I want all the tithes at the altar in my house. Everyone that I've called here, you're here by divine appointment. God has led you here. He has brought you to this house. You've been led by him. Some realize that more than others. But we're here by divine appointment. And he says, okay, you are here for such a time as this. I have a purpose and a plan, and there's things I want to bring to pass. Now, I need all of you to cooperate to get into one accord for me to be able to pour this kind of blessing out on you in order to bring about this overwhelming blessing into your lives, into this world. I need all of you to bring all your tithes into the storehouse. Bring it to the church. See, don't we see this in Acts chapter 2? Huh? There came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind filled the whole house where they were sitting. And then they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, began to speak with tongues. I mean, tongues of fire appeared upon their heads. I mean, it was an amazing thing. What happened? I mean, people came running from everywhere. Next thing, 3,000 people got saved. I mean, went from 120 to 3,000 in one afternoon. Bam! What? Outpouring. An overabundant, overwhelming outpouring of the Holy Spirit. But there's something very important to recognize that happened or was in place before the outpouring came. It says, and they were all in one accord in one place. They were all, everybody say all. They were all in one accord. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse. This is something he wants to do corporately. There's some things God can do in your life as an individual as you obey him. But then there's some things that are just too big. It takes more than just you and your cooperation and your faith. It takes a corporate group of people. That's a big reason why there's a local church, is so that we can come together with people of like faith and bring our supply together, to work together to accomplish something that's bigger than just we can do as individuals separated from each other. That's one of the reasons why he brings us together. That's why there's a local church. Because there's things he wants to do on a corporate level, on a much bigger level. There needs to be that partnership of believers, us being in one accord together. And so we have to understand that. Children of Israel, Moses, how many people know Moses was a man of faith? Moses could not get into the promised land by himself. He couldn't go into the promised land by himself. In fact, after the children of Israel had obeyed the command of God through Moses, and they, no, we can't go, there's giants in the land, you know, we're going to die in this wilderness. Then Moses goes back to the Lord. The Lord says, well, they're going to have exactly what they said. They're going to die in the wilderness. They're going to have exactly what they said. That's what they said. That's what they're going to have. That's what they believe. That's what's going to happen. So just let them know that they're going to wander in this wilderness for 40 years. And it'll be their children that'll rise up, the next generation that'll go in and take the promised land. But you let them know they're gonna wander here in the wilderness. I'll take care of them. I'll provide for them in this land. It'll be a land of just enough. They'll have just enough manna in the morning, just enough water, just enough for 40 years. They're going to live in just enough land for 40 years. That's not my will for them. My will was promised land, land flowing with milk and honey. In other words, a land of too much, a land of abundance. That's my will for them, but because they disbelieved me, I can't bring them in. So let them know they're all going to live out here in the wilderness and die. It'll be the next generation that I'll be able to bring in to the promised land. All right? So you let them know that. And so Moses goes back and he tells them that. And then a group of whiners, because he had quite a few whiners in the wilderness. A group of whiners rose up and said, "You're right. We missed it. We should have gone into the land. We're going to go in now. We're going to go in now." And Moses said, "No, no, don't do that. The Lord said, no, don't rebel against the command of the Lord. You stay right here. He'll lead us around in this wilderness. You're not going in." "No, no, no, we missed it. We're going in." Moses, "Don't do it. You're going to get yourselves killed. God's not going to be with you. I'm not going with you. The ark's not going with you." And they rose up, a group of them, and they decided they were going to go take the promise. "Now we're going to have the blessing of God. We're going to take it, and we're going to do this thing." And so they went over there, and they got whipped. Those people came down and killed a bunch of them, and the rest of them got injured and ran back wounded because they decided as a small group they were going to go ahead and make this thing happen. Ain't going to happen that way. I think there's a lot of churches, a lot of church people that rise up and they get frustrated in the church and they get all disgruntled and they start whining and complaining and they decide we're going to get a group together and we're going to go do something great for God. And they go in their own strength and they get whipped. They get whipped wherever they go. No matter what they do, they keep getting whipped. Why? Because they're trying to do something on their own. There's some things, friend, that are not going to happen until we all come together in one accord, under one banner, and get in faith and believe God together. I want the sound from heaven. I want the rushing mighty wind. I want the too much overflow of the goodness of God. Don't you? And Moses was soaking up the presence of God and enjoying the presence of God. But him, he never got into that promised land. And Joshua and Caleb, who were tremendous men of faith, they never got in there until the whole group got in one accord. Till that next generation got in one accord. And then they were able to go in. So, in other words, they were left out of some great things because of the whiners around them, because of the disobedient ones around them. You don't want to be a plug in the plan of God. Do you? You don't want to be a plug in the plan of God. You want to be a part of the ones that are in one accord, waiting in expectation for God to bring this thing to pass. And if all these other pluggers have to be removed, and we have to keep bringing people in, and people keep got it going out until we get a group together in one accord, praise God, then we'll wait. But we know God's going to get this thing done, and we're going to see this outpouring of the blessing of God that's too much for the devil to be able to hold it back. Too much for him to plug it up. And we're going to see great things happen. I really believe. You see that, you know, people come, people go, and there's a shifting of people. And some people, a lot of people just think that they're changing churches. But what I don't feel led to, I just don't feel we're supposed to be here anymore, Margaret. I feel like we need to go somewhere else. He's talking too much about tithes. There's two services on it. I feel like we need to go somewhere else. No, what just happened, you didn't leave. You got kicked out. Grace came off your life, and an angel went, "Don't let the door hit you on the way out." A lot of folks think they're being led by God, and they are, but it's God leading them out of what he originally had for them. And he says, "You come with me." I understand. Come with me. You're going to talk that way. You're going to act that way. Okay, you come with me. You can come over here, and I'll keep you in the first church of the wilderness wanderers, and I'll go ahead, and I'll take care of you now. I'll bless your little praise and worship karaoke, and I'll give you manna, and I'll give you some quail once in a while. That's a real special meeting blessing, and I'll do some great things in your life, but you're going to die in this unfruitful wilderness, and then answer to me when you come before my throne. I'm just telling you, this is how it works. So we don't want to be a part of that mess. I don't want God to have to transplant me because I'm a plug. Right? But I say, Lord, transplant the plugs. I want the blessing. I want to see us accomplish something awesome for God. Come on. So we shake ourselves and we get ourselves in obedience, because we're not just hurting ourselves, we're hurting the church. We're hurting the plan of God. Just from a natural standpoint, can you imagine if everybody brought their tithes and offerings? Everybody, every week, brought their tithes and offerings to the Lord. There wasn't one person that didn't tithe. What an overabundance. Forget about talking about mortgages. We just possess the land. Yeah, we just take stuff. We just build it. We just do it. We have more than enough. We get more employees in here. There's people that can really be helping out in this house. We need folks assisting in all kinds of areas. But see, it's not quite there. We just can't do it yet. Why? If everybody tithed, we would. If everybody tithed, everybody gave generously, it would happen. That's just from a natural standpoint. How about spiritually? Spiritually, what are we doing? What kind of place are we giving to the enemy? What kind of things are we holding back when we're not in agreement flowing with the plan and purpose of God for what he's called us into? And I'm telling you, this is a basic one. Tithes and offerings is a basic one. We need to get excited about it. Get excited about it. Get excited about giving because of what God promises. He says, if you'll do it, bring your holy tithe and present it to him. He says, get excited because there's certain things he is going to bring to pass. Hallelujah. I just believe God has put this word just like fire on the inside of me to minister because of the time we've come into. Now is the time. This is the season. Things are shifting. Things are moving. God's getting people in place, and we will be on the outskirts of what he's doing rather than right in the middle of it if we don't do our part, because things are happening. Things are getting ready to happen. Hallelujah. He wants us ready. He wants us ready. He's got me writing a book right now that I know this book is to bring reform to the body of Christ. It is not some little thing that's just going to, you know, it's in our bookstore. No, it's in every bookstore. I mean, he's putting a word in my heart. It's going to be a thick book. It's so important. The revelation that he's given me that's flowing in this book is so key, and I feel such an urgency to get it done now. I've delayed on it and delayed on it. I mean, he had me wanting to do this. He put it in my heart 2011. It was there in my heart. And you know, it's just tough sitting down, pushing everything aside, and I'm going to write this book, you know. But now it's like I know, I sense such an urgency. It's like I have to have this thing done. I mean, I'm looking at January thinking, this needs to be done by January. Something's coming in 2017. And this is a part of it. This is a part of helping to make things happen. You sense that destiny. You sense that bigness. Sense that destiny, that bigness on your life. Sense that destiny upon this place that God has brought you into. This is not a little thing. We don't have time to be playing around with little sins. Sins become such a big deal when we live in a little box. Sin is a big deal to those who live in a little box. But when you're living in the bigness of God, sin? What is that? When you're in the box, it's overwhelming. It's overwhelming. I just keep falling into it. It's just overwhelming because that's all you see. It's filling your box. If you come up out of the box and see the glory and get a vision for your life and how big it is, it's like you don't even hear that little mouse screaming anymore. That little temptation squealing to you. Yeah. So I mean, I don't hear cockroaches crying when I step on them. Do you? When I'm walking along, you know, you're just walking along. Just, I'm probably killing ants like crazy. We don't even know how many cats. We're probably killing ants by the thousands in some places, you know. Just walking out there, ants. We're not even aware of them. Not even aware of them, but if you were an ant, if we can just shrink you down, shoop, that'd be like a horror movie. You see these ants coming. It'd be overwhelming, wouldn't it? Wouldn't that ant be overwhelming? If you were the size of an ant, and you got two arms and two legs, and you see this thing coming at you, with how many arms and legs do they have? Six on each side, right? Three on each side? Some of you have been considering the ant. You've been doing the word. That's good. Bible says, consider the ant, you sluggard. That's Some of you have been doing your work. So, I mean, you got six legs. That's like Goliath coming at you. And who knows what the teeth look like up close, right? That's scary. It's scary if you're down there in Antville. A lot of folks have been spiritually in Antville. They've been in Antville spiritually. And so the devil is easily overwhelming them and scaring them and getting them overcome by stuff. God wants to get us up, get our vision higher, get our thinking higher, come up and begin to view things from his glory, from his perspective. And oh, praise God, so many of those things will just fall away. They just fall away. You won't have time for it. It won't even matter to you anymore. It won't even matter to you anymore. Bible says each one is tempted when he's drawn away by his own desires and enticed. When's he tempted? When he's what? Drawn away from what? From him. Drawn away from him. Drawn away from the greater. Drawn away from that bigger vision. Drawn away from his plan for their life. Drawn away. Their minds get drawn away from God, and their minds get on earthly things, and suddenly they're being tempted by stuff. They're being tempted by earthly things. And they're being enticed. And then they're overcome. And they sin. That's how it works. But if we just don't get drawn away. How do you not get drawn away? Take hold of this word and put it in your mouth. Start declaring, I've been made for bigger things than this. Praise God, exalt God. I mean, keep him involved in everything in your life. Keep him involved in everything you're doing. Keep giving him praise and thanks and talk to him and think about what he's called you to be. I mean, this morning, I just felt led this morning. I just kept saying, I'm strong in the Lord, in the power of his mind. I wasn't particularly feeling weak. I wasn't feeling like I needed to make that confession. I'm just doing it. I'm strong. I'm strong in the Lord. I'm getting ready looking in the mirror this morning. I'm strong. I am strong in the Lord, man. I am so not much to do there, but I'm strong. I'm strong in the Lord, in the power of his might. And I'm just thinking about how supernaturally strong I am and the supernatural things God can do through me. You think about these things. Encourage yourself in the Lord your God. Stir yourself up. Stir up the gift of God that's on the inside of you. You got gifts in you. You got eternal life in you. You got the life of the Spirit of God in you. Stir it up. Stir it up. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. And things like money won't be a big deal to you. A tithe. The tithe. Some of you are choking. Some folks, they, not you, but there's people out there. We're in one accord. But there's folks out there on TV. They choke. They choke over the tithe. It just gets them all choked up. You're way too small. Way too small in your thinking. That should be nothing. I give that to God. Are you kidding me? We're talking about Jehovah Jireh. We're talking about the God that sees ahead and provides 10%. This isn't an issue. But it is an issue when you're not minding spiritual things, but you're minding the checkbook. Now you need to mind your checkbook, but not just your checkbook. You need to mind the Lord in your checkbook. When you sit down and do your budget, think about the Lord. Never go over your budget in the flesh, because you and Margaret are going to have major issues. Don't go in there with Margaret, or just Margaret. Go in there with the Lord. Are you hearing me? Go in there with the Lord and stay in the Spirit. Singing. You start seeing things that were spent at Macy's that you didn't know was. Start singing. Start singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Make melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things. Especially for Margaret, after you see that she went to Macy's. Amen? Hallelujah! It'll do wonders for you, praise God. Do wonders for you. That's why marriages fall apart. Nitpick, 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 nitpick. Just nitpick, nitpick, nitpick. They just consume each other. Like little bugs. People just consume each other. Nitpicking. When you come up higher, all the nitpicking stuff means nothing. It's like, whatever. Cast the care on the Lord. Praise God. And that belongs to God. Hallelujah. Amen. Come on, folks. We're talking about Jehovah Jireh. We're talking about the Almighty El Shaddai, the God who's more than enough. He wants to be the God that's more than enough in your life. But if you're staggering over 10%, how can he be the God who's more than enough? You don't believe he is. So we need to start bringing all of it in. Come on. Bring it all in. Hallelujah. By the word of the Lord. Bring it all in. Bring it all in. Lay it in heaps at the altar. Praise God. Let's bring overabundance in. Glory God. Let's go ahead. Let's dare God to perform his word. He said, prove me in this, saith the Lord, if I'll not open to you the windows of heaven, pour you out such blessing there won't be room enough for you to handle it. Prove it. Prove me. Praise God. Let's do it. Let's do it. Let's see things just bust open. Come on. Hallelujah. All of us doing it together are going to make something big happen for all of us. And not just for us. It's going to overflow out of here. And God's going to shake the world through our lives. Can he do that? Is he big enough to shake the world? Yes, he is. Yes, he is. Can you say amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Somebody say, count me in, Jesus. I'm on board. I'm going forward with you. Come hell or high water, I'm going forward with you. Amen. Now, some folks, you might be, well, I'm not sure if tithing is for today. I'm not sure. You know what? You know what? It's better to err. If you're going to miss it on giving too much. Don't miss it on being a stingy person. Miss it on giving what the Lord is saying, give in his word. Miss it on that end. What's going to happen? You're going to drown? You're going to die? You're going to go under? Nah, my God will make a way wherever there seems to be no way. He will come through for you. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Come on, get on your feet with me. Let's thank him. He's big. He's awesome. He's amazing.
That concludes this message. For more information about Life of Faith Bible Church or Stephen Fraser Ministries, go to our website at lofbc.org. While you're there, be sure to check out the many other teaching series and books by Stephen Fraser. That website again is lofbc.org. And you can always call 888-542-2555. We trust today's message has encouraged your faith and strengthened your spirit to live the victorious life. And until next time, remember, we always triumph and we always win.